WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw. We're here to talk all about it. It's the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin, that's Lindsay Ward.
Things happened. Things took another turn, y'all. Okay.
Let's just dive right into the funhouse and go.
Alright, so I'm not gonna say a certain thing that I put out last week has abilities or powers or anything like that, but to kind of give a backstory, I jokingly built a quasi-shrine to Bray Wyatt. Not serious, it's for Halloween, but I like it so much because it's all hand-built, because I made it, that I leave it out year-round. Well, my house has been under renovations for 7 months now, and I've finally gotten to the point where I can put stuff back out again in the house. And so last Monday, I put that shrine out, and the bunny died. And I have since been decorating my house, and more of my wrestling stuff has come back out. And, well, tonight we took a bit of a turn, and I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm still scared as crap just seeing what this is going to be, potentially, because now the margin for this could go horribly, horribly wrong has increased exponentially based on it. But it was still cool, bad pants aside. So essentially what happens is Bray Wyatt loses his crap in the funhouse. I'm going to try and keep this PG. Not a lot of profanity is going to get dropped other than WTF. So the bunny has been resurrected somehow.
Okay, my favorite part about seeing the bunny pop up again, he had a bandage on its head.
Yeah, they put a bandaid on the bunny.
That was funny.
He's kind of like down in the corner. He's wrapped up in a blanket. He's not quite okay. You have Abby there. You have the buzzard there. And you have Bray. And the whole set is not right. Like, it's off kilter. You come into the fun house and it's all empty and you're going around it and then everybody shows up. So Bray's doing his thing. And it leads up to him saying, hey, I've got a surprise.
I have a secret.
And he wants to show it to everybody.
He's here to show the world his secret, what he's really been up to. But he needs our help.
We have to believe.
Gotta believe. Needs all his firefighters to believe in him.
We all have to clap. Oh, wait, no, that's furries. Never mind.
There's darkness still in his noggin. And you get the whole creepy Bray voice again.
You get the dead stare, you get the voice, and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, here we go. The lights start to flicker. The doll. I need a screenshot of the Abby doll, slack-jawed.
probably out there.
It's probably out there by this point, but that is my general reaction to that whole thing. Right there is that blank doll expression, just the mouth hanging open like, holy crap. So the lights flicker, and we cut back to the creepy promos we saw before this.
Even more creepier. It's even darker stuff that you put on Instagram.
Yeah, it's the really super dark stuff. And we come back, and the Firefly Funhouse has fireflies and has red lights, and it's dark. And there's Bray. I'm going to try and describe this. His hair is down. It's all messy. He's in this black tailcoat, which it's, if you don't know what dress coats are with tails, Google it. But it's a dress coat with tails. It kind of almost reminds me really of a very creepy ringmaster outfit.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways. He's in the coat. He's in these red and black striped pants, which I need to talk to somebody about that child's pant choices, because no. Those are not doing nice things for him. Can we please not with the pants situation? Anyway, first the chinos, now this. He turns around and he's just got a plain black top on underneath the jacket. He turns around, and the best way to describe this mask is if you've ever seen the doll from Saw, it's kind of like that, but not really. Like, white face, and it's all creepy, and everything. Like, I don't even really know how to describe it, but it's very creepy looking, and the mouth moves. So as he's speaking in the mask, as he's wearing it and he's talking, the mouth of the mask moves with his face. So it looks like the mask is actually talking, which is cool. Creepy as hell, but cool.
Yeah.
And he's spinning around and he's doing his Bray. He's being all Bray in his Bray-ness. But basically we see the dark entity that is inside Bray Wyatt. And has been inside Bray Wyatt this whole time.
The segment started where he said, I've learned how to control and harness the darkness. But sometimes this happens. And then you see the ultra creepy Bray Wyatt in the creepy mask and got awful pants.
And we end this segment with him doing the yowie wowie really, really creepily in the Bray Wyatt voice.
Mm-hmm. I thought this was cool. I thought they went in the right direction for the darkness. And as I've been saying for a while now, it's taken, how long was he off TV?
8 months.
8+ months. For him to once again be the talk of the internet wrestling community. He's been the talk of the wrestling community in general. People are talking about Bray Wyatt, and that's a very good thing.
What I liked about this is you can tell that a lot of thought has gone into this whole thing, and that this has been planned. They've taken this nice and slow. You're not rushing this. It's, we're going to let you sort of see it gradually, as opposed to doing that hard hit shock factor, which that's fine, because they hit you, they basically slapped you with it initially, and now we're going to sort of like ease into the horror aspect of it. You can tell that they brought somebody in that understands horror. And that's what this is. This is horror. This is not... We've officially crossed that threshold with Bray Wyatt, where we're going beyond anything that really anybody in the company has done before, including The Undertaker, in terms of horror for a presentation of a character. Like, I think the closest might be Kevin Thorne, but that's tame into comparison to what this probably will be. But this was good. It was really well shot, very well thought out. Again, my general concerns with this are, is this could go hokey.
It could. It really could. And I don't think this is the final form either.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's going to be a blend of whatever happy-go-lucky Bo Dallas Bray Wyatt is and Saw Bray Wyatt. Like, somehow they're going to come together and you're going to see the full version of what he's actually going to be. You made a comment about it because we actually saw like a snippet of it earlier today from people who took video at the show, and they put the promo out there, but now having fully seen it, you can kind of render a judgment on it.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something about it being like a Demon Finn Balor thing. I don't necessarily want that. Just because it's like, it's tricky because I don't want him to be relying on that.
Yeah, okay. It's more, I could see, it's not relying on it, but it's like, because the gimmick of where the demon is, they just rush and throw it out for a big moment. It tips toward, he starts on a normal scale, right? And then tips towards the darkness. And that's more when it comes out, more like a demon. You know what I mean? Not you save it for a special occasion demon. It's a balancing act. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and just, I just have concerns.
There's many concerns. But, on the flip side, they're doing something with him, which is great. People, every week, are looking forward to what's Bray Wyatt doing next.
Oh, most people are. There's some of us that are concerned. But yeah, no, this was a nice turn. This was a good way to do this. You have him doing a really good job online as well,
mm-hmm.
of telling people to go back. Like, I put a riddle in my promos in 2015, go find it. And you have people going back and watching his stuff.
Someone actually got really close.
Somebody did actually get really close to it. I think they got within like a line or two of it. Like they were able to isolate the promo, the time frame of the promos, and they got very, very close to it, to the point that he's like, okay, somebody's actually got it or is very close to getting it, so I'm going to go ahead and drop it. And he did. And so he used that as a way to be a teaser for what was tonight, where it's, I have a secret. I'm going to show you what it is. Everybody watch the Firefly Funhouse. And that he's utilizing his social media in a way that he's drawing interest to it. And WWE is actually promoting his social media, which is something they never do with him. Because I think in the past, it was always, oh, he's a creepy cult leader. He shouldn't have Twitter. Like, he always got a lot of crap on Twitter because he's on there, right? And he really shouldn't be in terms of kayfabe for the character. But it's like, dude, it's like 2015. What does it matter? Now it's because they've broken him out of that cult leader identity.
Mm-hmm.
Now it doesn't matter. Now it's, we've got a completely fresh character. It is still Bray Wyatt. There is still the past. Like, they've done a very nice job of linking him to that past of what happened with Randy Orton, of what happened in the Wyatt family. All of that stuff is there. Like, all the ties are there. But now it's Bray Wyatt, because he has lost his family. He has lost Abigail, in a way. He has lost his home. Everything that he was is dead. It's gone. It's never coming back. So who is Bray Wyatt outside of that? This is what we're now finding out. This is what we're seeing. It's like, you know, Orton burned down the compound. The family left him. And Hardy exorcised Abigail out of him. Although she's still very present.
Very much present.
In a very creepy doll.
Mm-hmm.
But the tie is there. And it's, like I said, this is all really well thought out. I think, goes beyond Bray himself.
There's a long-term vision for it, which is what you want.
Yeah, so it's, let's see what their actual vision for it is. But like I said, my concern lies in, everybody loves the promos. Let's see them get it into the actual application of him being in front of a live crowd. And let's see what happens. Because again, nobody's seen him yet in terms of a live crowd. He could show up Sunday. He could.
He could.
Or they keep him off TV. If they're smart, they hold him off.
They hold him off because this is not the final form. You wait until Stomping Ground?
Stomping Ground or maybe SummerSlam?
No, that's a little too far. Debut him at Stomping Ground because that's the end of June.
So, yeah, we'll have to see where that goes.
Because you don't debut him in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
We'll have more about that on Thursday.
Anyway, but you could get him better pants.
You could. All right, let's get through to some of what happened on Monday Night Raw. Mojo Rawley appeared and defeated Apollo Crews. Haha, yay. No.
Okay, what the hell is wrong with Mojo? What is on his face?
I don't know.
The child needs help.
Apollo Crews taking advantage of the wild card and coming over from SmackDown to Raw. Did you know he was on SmackDown? No. Anyway.
Wait, he's on SmackDown?
He's on SmackDown. He wildcarded his way over to Raw.
Okay.
Boy, that was the star power worth it. I mean, you couldn't have had any other Raw talent come over. And yeah, I know they're in Europe and he's on that tour, so that's why they used him. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Ricochet lost to Baron Corbin. Yep, that happened. Solid match, but yep, that happened. Rey Mysterio beat Cesaro, and Cesaro called Dominic looking like Samoa Joe's kid rather than Rey's kid, and we're back to that again.
Okay, no. No. For all of us that remember the Dominic part one of this whole ordeal, he does not look like Samoa Joe because there's no way in hell Samoa Joe is the father. We've proven who the father is.
Eddie Guerrero.
So, you know, let's not go there with this. Okay? We don't need to confuse Dominic any further than I'm sure he already is and possibly scar him for life. Again. Mm-hmm. Eddie Guerrero is his father. Ray just takes care of him. Moving on.
Alexa Bliss's luggage did not make it. 20-year-old Dominic on a pole match. Maybe. Alexa Bliss's gear did not make it to the UK, so she cannot compete tonight. So she's trying to think of what to do. Then there's Nikki Cross. And, like, she's just looking for someone to talk to and everything like that. And wanted to know if everything's okay with Alexa. And Alexa gives this evil look like, so Nikki, what if you could do me a favor? Because Nikki's so lost, she needs some friends. And she's like, maybe you could talk to McMahon. Maybe they could find a replacement. And maybe like, maybe I can. And then Nikki Cross gets put into the match. A four-way match. That saw Dana Brooke jump off a ladder down on the three women. But Nikki Cross getting the win. Thoughts on normal, Nikki?
It's a different turn. At least they're doing something with her. I don't think it'll last. But I'm honestly okay with this at this point. If it gets Nikki Cross on TV and it starts to get her back over again.
Yep. So, hopefully, there's that. Let's see. We talked about Ray. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Roman Reigns was on Miz TV. He came out. He was interviewed by Miz. They went back and forth. They talked about their respective matches on Sunday. They both put him over. How they're both going to kick some ass. Shane McMahon came out and said he's still the boss. And while Miz TV is over, because Lashley and Elias attacked Miz and Reigns, that led to a match. A long match, I felt like, that Reigns and Miz won by disqualification when Shane pulled Roman off the apron. That was a 3-on-2 beatdown, but the babyfaces got the advantage at the end. Good stuff.
It was really good stuff. It's a nice sort of like passing of the torch with Shane McMahon between Miz and Shane and Roman and Shane, where you now have Miz and Roman uniting basically to defeat a common enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really nice to see.
So there is that. So Sami Zayn was talking to Shane McMahon backstage, and he's like, he wants in the Money in the Bank and to take Braun Strowman out and for everything he did last week. And Shane agreed and made a match. It's like, falls count anywhere. It's Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman for Braun's spot in Money in the Bank. Really good main event. That's all Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin help Sami Zayn take care of Braun Strowman and get him out of Money in the Bank. After the match, Braun got revenge by putting Sami Zayn through the announce table. Thoughts?
This is an interesting move. I'm not sure how I feel about this. It's like, okay, you took Braun out of the match. So that now opens this match sort of wide up. In terms of who's gonna win,
because
Braun's the biggest baddest guy in the match. You know, it's almost assumed that he will probably win again if he's in there, just because of size and strength alone. But now this could be anybody's game, and I like that they did that. It sucks for Braun because they took him out, but he could get his way back in there. But I like that they've done this because now it's, well, crap, who's gonna win? And that's the whole point.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk more about that on Thursday. Then there was the contract signing, the dual contract signing, because what's better than just one contract being signed? We have two contracts being signed. They gotta stop with the contract signings. This was fine and everything, but we're very reliant on contract signing.
Basically, Becky Lynch went through a table, Lacey held up the Raw title, Charlotte held up the SmackDown title, and Becky laid on the ground in the table debris, so Yeah, I mean, it was there. There was some nice barbs exchange between Becky and Charlotte, but there always are, just because they're married and that's what you do. You pick a fight with your wife.
Lacey was good too. That was like, it's all good trash talk, everything, but it's like, we're so reliant on the contract signing to get people together without physicality. It's like, all right, we gotta figure something else out. So there was, there was that. And throughout the night, we had a video package for AJ and Seth. They both cut solid promos as well, putting over. We even had footage from like 2006 on the one and only time they wrestled. So that was cool.
That was cool.
Overall, the takeaway from this show is there's a pay-per-view Sunday, huh? Yeah. It wasn't the best go-home show, but it wasn't the worst go-home show. Hopefully SmackDown gives you a little more oomph. Like, my biggest problem is the people in the Money in the Bank ladder match should always get an opportunity to speak to tell us why they should win the Money in the Bank. We didn't get it here. Like, the only person who got it was Sammy. So it's like, and he wasn't even in it. Like, he was just hyping up his match. Braun was trying to put it over, but he's not even in the match. So the other guys didn't even get a chance to sort of like, this is why I should win Money in the Bank. You kind of want that. We'll see.
Yeah, you do kind of want that. But we'll, yeah, like you said, we'll see. It should be really good.
Should be really good. We'll talk about that and more Thursday.
That's right. Tune in, because we've got Money in the Bank that we're talking about. News, notes, NXT, SmackDown, all your favorites. It's The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Check out The Rack Extra Reviews, Miz and Mrs. Episode 13 of Season 1, dropping tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, once Miz and Mrs. ends. Coming this week, hopefully, if we can find the time, will be the Al Snow book review and the the SmackDown 20-year book. So they're both coming. To a Rack Extra near you. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's Saturday night, midnight edition. See Radio, CRealive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Go back and listen to last Saturday's episode where we did the Greater Than Great Debate on Pokemon. But even better, we had a nice long discussion of what makes something a classic video game or something classic in general. Check it all out. See CRealive.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Raider will be back. 11 p.m. Eastern. Whenever Money in the Bank ends, I'll be there to review it all on WTR Sunday night. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. twitch.tv/WTR Live. Follow and subscribe and use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LNSWRD.
We will be back next Monday night live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, 11 p.m. Eastern with the Raw Post Show. See you Thursday night for The Rack. And right back here next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, presented as always by youtube.com/MBG1211, which is MBG Films. So, she's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night and back here next Monday night. Lonely Earth, so Wild Talk Radio, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.